Hey everybody, today we'll be talking about how brick and mortar businesses can compete with just about anyone in the digital age. Hey everybody, welcome to the Get a Hand Up podcast, hoping to give you a hand up in all things business, strategy, social media, you name it. First, I'd like to give a very big shout out and thank you to Warren West. You can check him out at warrenwestmusic.com, on Facebook, any other platform, but he's provided the fabulous tunes that you hear in the beginning and the outro of the podcast. So thank you so much, Warren. He is such a great musician. And we have a very interesting topic today. It applies to brick and mortar businesses that are... Oh, wait a minute. Am I forgetting something? Oh, yeah. Here we go. And with us today is the lovely, the intelligent, the illustrious, the statistician. What's your name today?
Amazon two-day delivery.
Okay, Amazon two-day delivery. Well, welcome,
Amazon.
Just call
me two-day. Wait. Just call me two-day. Wait. My applause.
That sounds like a rapper name. Do you realize that? Like two-day?
Two-day.
Two-day delivery. Well, today's podcast is really one that I think a lot of businesses need to hear. And yes, it is about how brick and mortar businesses can embrace the digital transformation that we live in today. But it's not just for those who sell tangible goods, whether it's coffee cups, furniture, t-shirts, I don't care what it is. It's also about service providers, consulting, financial planners, even those who sell produce. If you've ever heard of Misfits Market, for example, they deliver produce right to your door. And guess where they market themselves? Online. So there's literally no one today who cannot do business online, if not compete thoroughly online. The playing field is now even with all of the platforms and platform features that we have today. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you have any anything you want to plug in there real quick?
Well, let me kind of give a quick statistic. I was talking to a friend of mine at Amazon Logistics, and she was telling me that in the last 3 years since Amazon Prime has become Prime, you know, forgive the pun on that, that the average consumer is willing to wait 2 days or even next day just to pay $3.99 for next day delivery than to actually go to a store that's less than a quarter mile away from their home.
It's true. And that leaves a lot of businesses, from local businesses to consulting firm, you name it, it leaves them scared.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you another scary statistic. The average person that has Amazon Prime that actually shops on Amazon is 95% more like number, take this number into consideration, 95% more likely to go onto Amazon while at a brick and mortar to see if Amazon has a better price.
I've done it. Mm-hmm. I've done it personally.
And so, out of that 95% that goes to a brick and mortar and uses their phone to see if Amazon has a cheaper price, 96% actually order at the brick and mortar on Amazon that product that they're looking at the store.
I hate to admit it, but I've done that as well. But this is really about the fact that so many brick and mortars have closed their doors, not just here in the U.S., but in Europe as well. And the point is, before you close your doors, understand how you can open new doors. You've heard the expression, when a door closes, a window opens. Let's talk about some windows today, because there are an awful lot of them. So, again, you know, this isn't just about if you're selling shoes or pizzas or jewelry. No matter what you sell, no matter what you provide, even if it's, honestly, even if it's liposuction, cool sculpting, you can bolster your brand and compete with brands that are much bigger than yours if you properly take advantage of the technology that we live in. And we do actually live in a technological world. Yes, Today.
Okay, another interesting statistic, that 84% of people over the age of 35 go online to shop for products, whether it's Amazon, eBay, Etsy, you know, any digital storefront, but 92% between the ages of 18 to 35 are the ones not only going online, but purchasing online, and believe it or not, reselling online.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Now, the thing is, before you close your doors, before you, you know, think, well, I can't compete, there are some brands who have embraced the digital transformation, and they've been very successful with it. Some examples are how you can order online and pick up at the store. But we're going to go a little bit more into that in the next podcast, where we talk about O2O, which a lot of people, what is O2O? You'll find out in the next podcast. But in the meantime, definitely check out the blog for this podcast, because it will be full of a lot of really helpful links. So let's get into the meat of it. No pun intended. You need to fulfill every advantage that your target customer would get from purchasing online, but better. So even starting out with clicks, okay, you need to get that, your target customer needs to be able to get to what they're looking for to buy in three clicks or less. Remember the three-click rule. No friction, no confusion. You have to make it idiot-proof. No offense to any idiots. But it is true. It has to be three clicks or less, and it has to be smooth. Another thing to remember, your customers, I don't care who you are, what you sell, what you provide, they are on social media, and that's where you need to cast your net, and that's also where you need to maintain top of mind. You need to get into, you've heard me talk before about the seven touches from Jeffrey Lant. Now it may be more like 12 touches, but this is where you need to stay top of mind. So, for example, don't just be on Facebook. It has the most granular targeting system in the world. Take advantage of it. Target like a sniper and promote your content. Getting tangible now. Facebook also has now a marketplace. So Facebook itself is a selling platform for everything from houses and apartments to secondhand clothing. So that's somewhere that you need to be. Recently, Instagram began in-app purchasing for the first time. So especially 2 days for that demographic you mentioned, the 18 to 34, was it?
Yes, 18 to 34, 92%, I have to look at my statistics again, are going to not only go online and purchase online, but, you know, resell online.
And they're online so much. I mean, didn't we see on the news the other night how people's necks are, you know, people are having neck problems because they're using their smartphones so much? Well, that's where they're conducting their own business. And I don't mean they're business people, but when they buy things, when you want to sell things, you have to do it where they are. You don't go to an empty river and cast your net. You cast your net where people are, and people are online. So take advantage of the features that are on these platforms. There's also Instagram TV. Still, brands are not really taking advantage of that very much. The in-app purchasing on Instagram. There's also chatbots. Let me give you a fabulous example. I know that a lot of people get branded products promoted, or they promote themselves with branded products like pens, cups, you know what I mean. And you probably see commercials everywhere for, say, forimprint.com. But I happen to know a gentleman, his name is Steven Hausner, and he's the CEO of You Brand It. And what makes him different than a lot of the similar type of companies that you'll see with, you know, enormous marketing budgets, TV commercials and whatnot, is he understands the personal touch that is needed in order to compete. And that's really what makes the difference. If you want to compete not only with other brands, but with brands that are much, much bigger than yours, things like a handwritten note, that's, you know, like a unicorn in today's world for people to get that special touch. So you can actually reach out to Steve and say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is who I'm trying to not only stay on top of mind with, but really impress and, you know, be memorable. And he will put himself in your shoes as well as the shoes of your target audience and help you devise a strategy to make it difficult for your target audience to forget your brand. And that's the real key of it, is you need to make your target audience unable to forget you. And that may sound tricky, but all the tools are there. So another thing to take into consideration is your packaging. Pardon me. Catchy packaging actually, it leaves such an impression. It's very on trend right now. Anything that's eco-friendly, biodegradable, or even reusable packages that once you open them, they turn into some other usable item. They're all the rage right now. So definitely differentiate your brand with something that is physical once the key transaction or the core transaction is done. Do something a little bit different to add a personal touch so that they won't forget you. I asked Steve, what was one of the craziest things that you did in terms of branded products? And it was for a company that was selling a trip to one particular campaign. They were selling a trip to Marco Island. And he spoke with the company and he came up with an entire end-to-end package of branded products that made it impossible to forget the company that was selling the trip. When the travelers arrived, they had monogrammed robes, luxury towels. If they went to the beach, they had everything from sunscreen to frisbees to sun care products, all branded. So they didn't have to worry about bringing their own toiletries, even makeup. But he did everything custom for the company selling the trip, and their travelers who bought into the trip became repeat customers because of that personal touch. Now, keep in mind, that may be something that the big brands like Amazon or Walmart.com are missing. They may have that convenience and 24/7 access, but they do lack the personal touch. So what you need to do is provide everything that your target customer or client could possibly get from a digital provider, but better. So don't just give them what they you know, what you're normally selling as a product or a service, but go a little further and give them that personal touch, and they will become a repeat customer, and you'll get customer lifetime value, not just a one-off transaction. Today, you're a little quiet. That worries me when you're quiet.
No, listening. I have a lot of questions that are coming up, but I'm going to leave that towards, you know, when you finish, and then I'll just start shooting them to you, you know.
Oh, this is going to be a challenge day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. One thing that I will say about Steve from You Brand It, 24/7 customer access. Everyone today prefers to have 24/7 access to your brand. So whether it's through Facebook Messenger marketing, whether it's a chat bot on your website, people need to be able to contact you 24/7. Now, like I said, thanks to the technology that we have today and the features offered by these different platforms, you do not have to be sitting at a computer or even awake for these things to be doing business for you. So, for example, the one thing that I mentioned to Steve Hausner of You Brand It is that he should have a chat bot on his website. So even if he's asleep, someone can go onto his website and in the chat bot say, hey, I'm... so-and-so, I sell X, Y, and Z, or I provide this type of service. What type of thing would you recommend for me? And then they can expect a timely response the following day. So it's really every touch of your business has to have both an online and an offline connection there. And that's what will make the difference between people who come back to do business with you over and over again versus them going to Amazon.com or Walmart.com and making their purchase there instead. They need to see something more valuable than that convenience and that fast free shipping. Do you want to fire some questions yet, or?
I will. I'm going to let you finish.
Okay. Another thing, especially if you're, you know, I mentioned that this podcast was not just for brick and mortar brands like your local pizza place or companies that deliver fresh produce. I mean, it's amazing. They're doing something very, very local, but they're using social media and other platforms in order to recruit their target audience for their business. And it's working very, very well. But you can go even further, especially if you are a service provider. Say, I spoke recently with a financial consultant. He does financial planning for people. And he had no idea really that he could get not only so many more customers online and on social media, but stay top of mind and offer value through something like Alexa Skills. I'm sorry if I just trolled your Echo Dot, but the point is, if you can offer one really helpful tip per day on how to better plan for your retirement or better save up for your kids' college tuition, you can do that through Alexa Skills, and people can get a little touch from your brand and something valuable every day just by asking a question. Best example of this that I can think of, the TV show Mr. Robot, I've mentioned that before. They have a complete interactive experience that you can do with the Echo Dot. And it's not only fun, it's fascinating, and it's completely interactive. you know, Helen Keller said that the bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. And I think that that's the most critical part of it. We are living in an age where 20%, get this, 20% of all personal relationships begin online. 20%, that's 1 in 5. So 1 in 5 relationships actually started online, and 1 in 6 marriages actually started online. So if people can get married by beginning with a digital relationship, there is absolutely no reason why your brick and mortar company, store, brand cannot compete using all of the features and platforms that we have today. One thing to mention is that Facebook has grown so much, and I really do not want to see another clickbait trash article about, oh, is Facebook dying? No, don't waste my time. They now have such a huge audience network where your brand can be seen on anything from TechCrunch to the Huffington Post if you use their audience network. So understand where your target audience is. Make sure that you're there. Make sure that you offer them all of the convenience, the access, customer service that they would get from these big brands, these online super conglomerates. You can do the same thing, but if you do it better, you'll do even better, because you will get the repeat business of these customers. I mean, I know Misfits Market with their produce delivery has grown exponentially, and they're not using direct mail. They're not putting things in people's mailboxes. They are getting signups online. So definitely. And Amazon Today, I know we have some really personal examples. Well, not personal, but things that we happen to know of locally that have really worked in terms of getting a brick and mortar brand to compete online very, very successfully. So fire away.
Okay.
I know you have that look in your eye, like...
It's actually allergies.
Oh.
Okay, so, you know, everything from what you said about, like, how can a brick and mortar survive in a digital world? Now, for those that may know myself and Camille, we are some cigar smokers. I am a fairly new cigar smoker, where Camille is a little bit more experienced.
A little.
And we belong to a lounge here in New Jersey. You know, it's a great lounge, great staff, great owners. You know, it's our second home, how we call it. And the interesting point was that today, before the podcast, Camille was talking to me about, like, what's a good example can we use of a brick and mortar that actually uses their digital space well. Now, without naming, other companies or anything like that, because this is not a bashing issue. This is not this company did it well versus that company didn't do it well. This other cigar company actually has several lounges and superstores that they call in Pennsylvania, some in Texas now. And not only do they sell the cigars at their superstores with a lounge in there, but they also have a very successful, online presence. And because of the algorithms, let's just be honest now, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to type nothing into my search engine. I don't want to type nothing into, into Google or into Alexa or wherever else. Again, sorry for trolling your device. See, our device trolled us. But the thing is that our devices are listening. Our search engines are looking at our patterns. And no matter what you do, it's still going to be tracked one way or another. I'll give you the best example. I was in the market for a new cutter for my cigars. And I went to one page, and within 5 minutes on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook, I was seeing ads for cigar companies that sold cutters. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. A brick and mortar will openly say that I cater to my local clientele. Let's just be honest about this. Your local clientele will eventually become a digital clientele and go to a competitor that's already been established for a while.
Yeah.
Someone that will offer free shipping. Someone that offers things that you don't offer. Someone that offers better pricing, better selection, better stock, better customer service. You may be the king of your haystack, but at the end of the day, you're just a strand of hay in a farm.
Don't end up being a small fish in a small pond struggling, for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the opportunities are out there so much. And there's one thing today that I want to mention. You mentioned search engine, and there are a lot of brands that are running Google AdWords. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a Google partner, and I kind of feel like I'm cheating on AdWords when I say this. But there are a lot of brands for whom search engine marketing, you know, AdWords, PPC, is not their best choice. Because, like, when you looked for a cutter, did you go to google.com and search for it?
Well, here's the funny thing. I was actually at the lounge, and the lounge closed for the day, and when that cutter that we purchased before I ended up buying a cutter from the lounge, it was interesting because I actually went on Instagram to look for different types of cutters, like different ring gauges. Those that smoke cigars would understand that. I smoke a Toro size ring gauge that's a 60 and so forth, so I need a larger cutter. And I went on Google first on my phone. I actually used Google Chrome.
Oh, you did use Google. Okay.
And then I went on Instagram and I tried to look for pictures of cutters that were on Instagram and as well as Pinterest, believe it or not. But let me
go
finish.
Go on.
So not only did within 5 minutes, as I'm browsing through Facebook to look at my daughter's post, to talk to a couple of, you know, college friends and some friends of mine and so forth, I started to see Google ads. I started to see Facebook ads of companies, cigar companies that were selling cutters and the gauge that I was looking at.
The point I want to make is that, yes, the vast, vast majority of searches will begin on a search engine. However, there are some things that are not best suited for AdWords or a search engine, you know, to start, because they're so niche. You know, things like a plumber or a handyman or something, yeah, then AdWords may be right for you, but other platforms may be so much better suited for your target audience.
So let me give another quick example.
Mm-hmm.
I went and asked a question among cigar smokers on Facebook, my friends and, you know, colleagues that are cigar smokers. I said, what's the best quad torch lighter for cigars? And within minutes, Facebook and Instagram started to show me ads of cigar companies that sold these things. Just by one post, a platform that has a subsidiary, secondary platform, was able to show me ads, even though I didn't ask for it on Google or, you know, went to Facebook and typed in quad torch lighters. This was just a tag to my cigar friends that smoke cigars.
And if you are not a part of those businesses who are taking advantage of that technology, then you will end up being that small fish in an increasingly shrinking pond. So don't do that. But one of the things you mentioned, Pinterest. Pinterest actually has sales in their platform where you can tag products. Facebook, you can tag products. Instagram now has in-app purchasing. Mm-hmm. So people who are browsing things that they normally find interesting or attractive day-to-day, things that they're into, no matter how niche they are, using these social media features, you can be top of mind anytime somebody even makes a post asking for recommendations.
Now, here's something else interesting. As I was doing these searches, I did searches for photography because, you know, we offer video and photo to clients. And within minutes, again, from local brick and mortars around us that sell these products to the national level where Amazon, that had five or six different types of, you know, camera batteries, all showed up on my feed. Now, if you are a brick and mortar, I'm going to throw Camilla's scenario. I'm going to be, you know, store owner, Esquire, and I sell camera gear, for an example, you know, like umbrellas, batteries, lenses, and so forth. Okay. And I'm a local brick and mortar. I'm doing well in my local area, you know, within a 30-mile radius. I have a great clientele. I have customers that come in, you know, and everything. But I am now getting killed by Amazon.
I was just going to say, are you the last store of your kind in your neighborhood?
Exactly. I am the last Photoshop where, you know, no pun intended, you know, that sells gear, you know, where you could come in, test out the gear, look at it from a counter, talk to an expert. I am the last of the Mohican. And now I am getting killed by the device that I use every day myself personally to go shopping with.
Mm-hmm.
How do I even start to, you know, to become a hybrid transition where I start selling nationally? Because eventually in the next 5 years, this area is going to get dried up where everyone's going to be online and I'm going to have to be forced to close my doors. What do I do? This is, by the way, a lot of times this is a question that's asked by Camille and I, by a lot of our clients. Within 5 years, I am going to be dead in the water with a bunch of overstock that's, you know, outdated, insufficient. How do I compete now so I don't go broke later?
Two steps. Number one, get online. Literally.
But I am online. I have a Facebook presence, meaning I have a page that my customers like. I have a website that I had my nephew do in WordPress.
Oh, Lord.
No. But I'm going to argue with you. This is like, this here, guys and girls, this is how we deal. This is how a customer client will come to us. They'll say to us, I have a WordPress site. I have a Facebook presence. I have a Twitter account that I rarely use. And I have Instagram that my nephew set up. So don't tell me that I don't need these things. I have these things.
First of all, are you using all of the features now that are available to you? Meaning, are you tagging products? Are you offering?
Oh, I do the hashtags. Oh, yes. I hashtag 20 times. Like, I'll post a new battery from Canon, and I put, like, 20 different hashtags from Canon Life to Canon Battery and so forth. Yes, I do that.
Are you offering something of value to get people's attention?
I sell camera gear.
Okay. Do you sell, for example, a lead magnet that, and for those of you who don't know what a lead magnet is, you're about to find out. Do you offer, for example, a downloadable article or a blog or anything, 10 tips for traveling with camera gear?
Why do I need to do that?
Because
I only sell camera gear and batteries.
Right. But you need to differentiate yourself.
In other words, educate the customer.
Yes, educate the customer. Offer them something that will make their life easier. For example, like 5 ways to make your batteries last longer. 10 tips on traveling with camera gear. For those of you who do photo and video, you know that can be an absolute nightmare, from the TSA to just camera theft, you know, so that would be priceless.
But is that going to help me sell batteries and camera gear online?
Because first of all, you're going to get your brand in front of the eyes of people who would normally go to much larger brands, whether it's Amazon, Walmart, or a couple of other stores that sell camera and photo gear. I don't want to mention the name because we happen to be friends with the owner. But the next thing would be to not only get top of mind, not only let them know that you're there, but also figure out what is your competitive advantage. Maybe you are open when these other brands, these other stores are closed. I happen to know that some of those larger brands are closed a couple days every single week and for many, many holidays throughout the year.
So you're telling me that I need to figure out something unique about me to sell me online to, you know, for others to find me?
Today, that's branding 101. You need to find out what is unique about you. before you even think about starting a business.
Ain't that your job? You're the marketer.
That's my point, is that it's about finding out what is your competitive differentiation. There could be two people on the same street, same neighborhood. They sell the same things. They provide the same services. I guarantee you there is something different about those two. Each of those differences can be used as a competitive differentiation, whether it's giving away information that helps make their lives easier, whether it's, something like we're open when they're closed. I mean, that can be huge. What if you're on a photo shoot on a Friday night and you broke a lens that, you know, which is huge, and you need another lens, but your regular store is closed? That is your opportunity as that small brick and mortar who's now going online to say, hey, we've got you covered.
So kind of give a cheat sheet here, like for small businesses. What I was going to suggest is when you talk to your marketer, like, you know, with Camille, for an example, think of the five things that make you unique. Like, what makes you different from, you know, your competitors?
Yeah.
Number two, what services and goods can you offer that would make you unique, and how can you brand those online? And that's where your marketer comes in and says, hey, you sell these older lenses, you sell funky lenses, you sell third-party batteries that are actually, you know, really well on the Canon or Nikon cameras, where your competitors are not focusing on that. You could focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, hey, within the tri-state area, within 60 miles, we have delivery service of lenses for last-minute wedding photographers and so forth. You could say, hey, we offer rentals.
And you have to understand what is most important to your prospective customer. So, for example, even if it comes at a premium, even if it costs extra, for a photographer to not ruin a shoot with a broken lens, to have immediate delivery or immediate loaner, that is enormous.
Yes. I will tell you also, like, when you talk to your marketer, you know, think of, like I said before, five things that make you unique versus your competitors, even Amazon. What do you offer that they can't?
And what, there's always something.
Yes, there's always something. You're absolutely right, Camille. There's always something that you can offer that Amazon or your big box brands can't do. You know, you could offer a, you know, you could even do reviews on the products you have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, everyone, if you, I say it this way. If you could take a Facebook live video of your dinner or your breakdancing, you could do a live video of yourself doing a quick 5-minute product review on a product you offer, and then work with your marketer to get that marketed online. So, for example, if I have a broken 24-70 lens and I'm at a shoot for a major client and I need to get another 24-70, whether it's a loaner or whatever the case may be, I want to make sure that as a marketer, that your brand comes up before the box brand comes up. Yes, Amazon does 2-day shipping. Yes, Amazon could do overnight shipping. Okay, and Amazon has these boxes in locations where they could drop off same day. But you want to be a step above Amazon. Does that sound ludicrous? Hell to the yes. But it is possible. If there could be 18-year-old girls selling makeup tips online, then imagine what you can do with the right strategy and branding and a marketer for your business. And then you have to ask yourself the question, come 5 years from now, do I want to be closing up shop or opening up a second shop to deal with my online base?
Exactly. And one of the things that is so critical, I've been reading a lot of articles lately about, I hate to use the word demise, but I don't know what else to use, the demise of Amazon. And one of the reasons is because they're losing that direct connection with the customer. Yes, they offer an extremely wide selection. Yes, they're very cost competitive and they offer the delivery. But what's happening is that over the last couple of years, with such immense growth, they're losing touch with the customer. And that is where you can step in and take advantage of someone else's
mishap.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you this much. When you're a customer, you want to be, you want to feel special. You want to be able to walk into a location. The owner knows you. You should be able to, even if they don't offer it, they could order it for you and get it for you. I would be more inclined to go online to someone that I know and purchase something, even if I'm paying a little bit more. I'd rather spend $5 or $10 more with someone I know than a big warehouse box tie-up at company where I'm getting a product, it's broken, it's defective, and then I'm calling in, I'm on hold for 15 minutes, I'm speaking to someone that really doesn't care about their job, is only there just to put in notes into your account and then ship you another product within 2 days. Where if I had the same experience, where if I got something from someone local, I could just call them up and say, hey, this is broken. All right, come in, get another one, or we'll ship someone to you, you know, ship another one to you within 24 hours.
And remember, rule number one of marketing, any marketing, whether it's online, offline, no matter what it is to reduce customer burden. Now, the three-click rule that I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, that's an example of customer friction. So online, you want to reduce customer friction. Make it so easy to get to you. And reduce customer burden. People would rather pay twice as much for the same product. This is actually true. People would rather pay twice as much for a product knowing that they can trust the company, that the company is going to stand behind it and offer phenomenal customer service, than another company that's offering the same product at half off, but you really don't know, you know, if it arrives broken or you don't like it. You're kind of stuck with it. So trust is everything. And as a smaller brand, you can really capitalize on that trust very, very much.
Exactly. So, you know, the three things to keep in mind when you talk to your marketer about expanding is, who am I? What do I offer? And what can I do that a big box company cannot do?
Exactly. And another thing, too, is, a lot of people are getting into drop shipping. You know, that's kind of a trend these days. Oh, I can drop ship. And that's true. That cigar company that you mentioned, you know, they had some brick and mortar locations. And in order to survive, they became one of the biggest online purveyors of cigars and cigar swag. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But don't lose that personal touch. I've noticed that they include little personal notes. They'll give you a personal discount code, like this is just for you, just for one time. And that keeps us coming back.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're getting a little late. We're getting to the 43-minute mark on this longer podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Camille has a blog on this. You know, go to her site at camille-forte.com. Check out the blog. It has a lot of, you know, great notes in there, a lot of, you know, good things on there.
Links
as well. You know, of course, you're listening to the podcast, so thank you for that. Thank you for giving us your time. And we're going to do a video, but we are kind of on a crunch. So the video may be out in a couple of days after this podcast launches. Check out the video. It's a quick 5-minute thing where, you know, Camille goes over it in person. And it's a new series that we're doing as well to complement the podcast and the blog. So, you know, be sure to check it out. Again, guys, use the hashtag Ask Camille. Ask any questions. She's always online 24/7. Trust me, I know.
It's true. Yep.
You know, don't be afraid. And think of it this way. Before this podcast ends, I want you to think about this. Where is your business going to be 5 years from now? And if you are relying on your local client intel to provide you that source of income to keep your business going, understand that, you know, this same people, and I can contest to this in the lounge, you know, being at cigar lounge, are the ones on their phones almost all the time there.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how long it's going to be before they find something that you offer far cheaper at a better quality. So you should be the one getting ready to prepare for that.
Absolutely.
It's not a scare tactic. It's the honest to God truth.
Yeah, they are on, you know, surfing Facebook and whatnot, you know, into the late evening hours and whatnot. So if you're not there, you know, they're not there searching Google for things that they don't really need, but you can be on Facebook and be the most interesting thing that they see. And bam, you have a new customer. So you have to be where your customers are.
I'll give a very quick story of two companies that thought they couldn't fail. Blockbuster Video.
Mm-hmm.
And look what Netflix did to them within 5 to 6 years. Another company, Toys R Us. Look what Amazon did to them. Even though that Jeffrey Toys is coming back, you know, with parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
Toys R Us was around since our childhood, and Amazon brought them to their knees and made them go out of business.
And look at what happened with Netflix. They started out with mail order, you know, doing things in the mail where things were tangible. And look at the streaming giant that they are now. They're a perfect example of someone who bended with the curve.
Exactly. So we're going to end this podcast here. You know, thank you. You know, this is normally a longer podcast than we normally do. Again, questions, concerns, if you just want to have a chat with Camila or myself, you know, about this, you know, maybe you are starting to realize about what's going on and, you know, want to prepare for this. Use the hashtag Ask Camille. Ask any questions. Hit her up online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, email.
I'm everywhere.
You know, smoke signal. Morse code. I mean, you'll be able to reach her. So again, we thank you so much for, you know, listening to the podcast. And Camila, any last minute thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. And before you close your doors, before you throw in the towel, at least just call. Just call. My two cents is always free. Reach out.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much and take care.
Thanks for tuning in.